And welcome back. It is another edition of Shedding Light. And today, a very interesting guest. I've had him on the show about 2 years ago. He's part of what's called the 9/11 Truth Movement. And these are folks that have become convinced that 9/11 wasn't the exact story that was told to us by the government. And this gentleman that I'm going to have on today, Richard Gage, started an organization called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Richard, are you there?
I sure am.
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks for bearing me out here. Richard, welcome back to KZSU. And today finds you, after Friday, you guys had a big press conference, 9/11 Truth. Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and I want to get into that, but what I'd like to do, it's been a couple years since you've been on the airwaves, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the folks? Who is Richard Gage, and what got you to the point where you're at right now?
Well, I've been an architect for over 22 years, licensed, and I've worked on many, many different large buildings, different types of buildings. $400 million project in Las Vegas. But about 4 years ago, I was on the road to a construction meeting, and I heard on the radio David Ray Griffin right here in the Bay Area, KPFA, Guns and Butter. And Bonnie Faulkner was interviewing him, and he was talking about all of the evidence in the debris pile and from the eyewitness testimony of these three World Trade Center high-rises on 9/11 and how they had been destroyed. And it was fascinating. I'd never heard any alternative theory other than the jet plane impacts and the resulting fires, which we're told caused gravitational weakening of these structures, and they came down in the manner they did. There's a whole set of evidence that we have not seen in the mainstream media.
Well, before you jump ahead like that, so you heard this on the radio one day, and being an architect, how long after 9/11 was this that you heard this on the radio?
Well, this was 4 years ago.
So quite a few years after 9/11, right?
Yeah.
And so for those years after 9/11, you pretty much were going along with the program. It was a terrible tragedy that happened that day. Jet planes took down buildings. Did you give it another thought right after 9/11, or was it just something you accepted?
Well, there's just something uneasy about the whole thing.
It always struck you funny.
I didn't know what to do with that. I was in a state of shock like all other Americans.
Mm-hmm.
These buildings did not, as anybody can see in the photos and videos, they didn't come down in a gravitational collapse. They exploded like volcanoes. And this evidence that we're going to be talking about today is indicative of just that, an extremely explosive event where the perimeter wall units, for instance, are hurled laterally 600 feet at over 60 miles an hour, these 9-ton perimeter wall units. Everything, in fact, in both towers is expelled well outside of the footprint of these buildings. The gravitational collapse works downward, not outward. We would expect to find 110 floors at the base of each of these twin towers, at least 50, right? Maybe some of them disintegrated somehow, but not all of them. There are no floors found, no pancakes, at the bottom of this pancaking collapse, as we're told.
Once again, I want to back up just a little bit. When you first had this epiphany, and you heard this on the radio, and you heard David Ray Griffin on KPFA, on Guns and Butter, and it started to hit you, it sounds like it hit you like a ton of bricks, and maybe it hit you all that one day, but as you started realizing what you've come to realize, you started the organization Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, right?
That's right. 4 years ago, I had one architect and engineer for 9/11 Truth. Then I showed it to my firm that I worked for at the time, and all of them, all 15, thought I was nuts. And afterwards, they all agreed with me and signed my petition.
Did they really?
Yeah.
And now, last Friday, and I'll jump ahead just a little bit. We're going to be jumping around a little bit for the next 20 minutes, but last Friday, all y'all at Architects and Engineers, A&E for 9/11 Truth, had a press conference in San Francisco because you just signed up, officially signed your 1,000th architect who is officially on board. So now you have an official 1,000 architects, and these are architects from all around the world, right?
These are architects and engineers who are degreed and or licensed, and they are from all around the world. 20% are from 40 other countries.
And they've all come to agree with what you came to realize, which is what you were just talking about, how the buildings didn't come down the way we were told that they did. And you have some heavy evidence, because we did a two-hour show a couple of years ago on these airwaves, and I was amazed because you brought out a lot of evidence to me that I had never heard of or thought of. And I do remember that day, and the way the buildings came down did look strange. And when you look back at the film footage on it, it is kind of strange. But once again, I want to back up a little bit. You mentioned your firm didn't believe you, and then after you explained it to them and showed the event to them, they all signed the petition. How has your journey been since 4 years ago up till last Friday when you signed up your 1,000th architect? How's that journey? Talk about that journey and how it's been, because it's probably been an uphill battle trying to get people to listen to you and to understand what you were talking about.
Well, it's a steady, smooth process of gaining more and more petition signers, because every architect and engineer who looks at this evidence, and everybody else as well, by the way, ends up agreeing with us, 98% of the people anyway, that these are controlled demolitions, and most of those sign our petition. So it is a steady moving progress. We have been around the world with this. There's a 9/11 Truth movement in every major metropolitan area in the world. So we've had 115 speaking engagements across this country, and we've had about 15 around in Europe. We had 9 and since I've seen you, and also we just got back from Japan, Australia, and New Zealand on a that was a 14-city tour all by itself, so maybe something like over 25 foreign speaking engagements, where we do get much more press coverage than we do in the United States. It turns out that there's quite a censorship program on the issue of 9/11 in the United States. It's now, really not a good situation.
Speaking about that, I've wondered, have you noticed any pushback, have you caught any flack? You mentioned that the firm you worked for, when you first heard this, you said that was the firm that I used to work for. Have you had to change firms? Have you been laid off or fired? Have you been marginalized? Speak about that a little bit.
No, in fact, that was everybody in that firm that I worked for, except the boss, who was Middle Eastern, so he didn't want to sign the petition because he was afraid, and that happens a lot. The next firm I worked for, which is the last firm I worked for before I went full-time, half of them signed up, a 60-person firm in Berkeley. Most people are able to see this and support us. Others just can't bring themselves to believing that 9/11 was some sort of an inside job. This is very difficult for most of us. It was for me. I'm a Reagan Republican. I couldn't imagine that somebody on the inside could possibly be responsible. Now, how do we know that? Well, let's look at the evidence. The evidence of explosives, for instance, in the Twin Towers, we have over 100 first responders reporting sounds of explosions and flashes of light, none of which was introduced into the 9/11 Commission report, even though it was given to the commissioners.
Are these people that are still alive?
Yeah,
they are.
Sure.
Are they speaking up about this now?
Many are. Yes, they're in our DVD, which is available on our website, which is ae911truth.org. All of this evidence is very carefully laid out.
Okay.
When we have the point of jet plane impacts in each of these buildings, above that, this section of building, official story tells us that it drove the rest of the building below down. Well, it turns out that there's a sudden, smooth, symmetrical drop which of this upper mass, which accelerates straight down through what was the path of greatest resistance, 80,000 tons of structural steel. That can't happen. This violates the laws of physics unless those columns are removed, and that can only be done explosively and synchronistically timed so the building comes straight down. So this is a dead giveaway for most architects. Once we start thinking about it, looking back at it, and seeing these incredible plumes of upward, outward, arching streamers full of pyroclastic-like trailing clouds. This is like from a volcano. And it's really quite extraordinary. And as I mentioned, the ejection laterally of these 9-ton perimeter wall units is amazing, as is the explosions going off 20, 40, and even 60 stories down below this demolition front. Isolated explosive ejections expelled at 160 to 200 feet per second. These are propelled by explosive speeds. We also have the first responders and structural engineers finding pools of molten iron down in the debris pile. Now, jet fuel and office fires don't create molten iron. What does? Well, the molten iron turns out to have in it the chemical evidence of thermite, an incendiary used to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. So it's very evident here that we have the use of thermite and for the first time, probably, in high-rise demolitions.
Now, you say probably.
Well, we don't know of any other high-rises or buildings that have been demolished using thermite, but it's certainly capable of doing the job. That's what it's designed to do, is to cut through steel.
Mm-hmm. Now,
there are cutter charges, for instance, that have been patented back in 1984 that use thermite for this process.
Mm-hmm. Now, being an architect, give us a little snapshot of what it would take, the kind of work that would have had to gone in to setting up charges in that building, and how is it that no one detected this, or the people that set the charges, if all this was set up, it would have taken more than one or two or three people. It would have taken a team, quite a large team of people, to do this, wouldn't it have?
Sure. Yeah, this is a huge job. It would take months.
Yeah, and how is it that no one has come forward, or has anybody come forward to say, oh yeah, I was on the team, we set the charges, or has any light been shed on that?
Well, we're trying to create an environment where it would be possible for somebody to come forward with it without being ostracized by the media, by others. So what we have to do is present this evidence across the country, develop a grassroots organization that puts pressure on the media to begin to accept some of this evidence and report it, and get a real investigation by our government, hopefully, or some other government, perhaps, is necessary, so that we can get these whistleblowers an opportunity to come forward. Now, how would they have planted explosives in the World Trade Center Twin Towers without being seen? It turns out that if you had access inside the elevator shafts, you would have access to all the core columns and beams where you would plant these explosives. And indeed, we find that there was, in fact, an elevator modernization going on the 9 months prior to 9/11. So it's very possible that such an operation could have been concealed under the guise of that work. There were, in fact, 85 ACE elevator employees in the building when the planes hit, and they did scatter. They did not stick around and help the firefighters rescue the victims, which is really quite a scandal, because that's their job.
Has anybody contacted them?
I don't know. I just don't know. I heard they went out of business. They went bankrupt. There's lots of investigation. I'm not an investigator. I'm just reporting the evidence, such as the fact that in all of this World Trade Center dust, which landed throughout lower Manhattan on a blanket 4 to 12 inches thick, is 90,000 tons of concrete was pulverized, by the way. and that's what created all this dust. That's an incredibly explosive event that's required to fracture all that concrete to a fine powder.
Mm-hmm.
But in that powder is found previously molten iron droplets. These are found by official sources.
What does that mean?
Spherical, and they have in it the chemical evidence also of thermite in all of the dust. And they do not explain where it comes from. It can't possibly come from any other sources,
mm-hmm.
such as cleaning up the iron workers at the site, because these are found billions of them in every sample up on the top of the Deutsche Bank building, etc. But they also find unignited chips of very special, high-tech, explosive material in the dust samples. This international team of scientists, led by Niels Harrit, Stephen Jones, and others, have found nanothermite. These chips have in them extremely small particles of iron oxide and aluminum powder that are perfectly uniform in shape and perfectly proportioned to each other to make up thermite. This should not be in all of the dust. This thermite becomes more explosive when it is made so small at the nanoscale. It's made only in the most sophisticated Defense Department contracting laboratories.
Talking to Richard Gage, the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and your website is ae911truth.org, is that correct?
Yes.
And you've been all over the world speaking on this subject. Has anybody come forward to you in your travels that has shed some light on your theories? You know, anybody stepped out of the shadows, you know, that you didn't expect and, like, told you something that you didn't know before?
Yeah, but I wasn't able to corroborate this, and mostly rather strange people. So it's not worth bringing some of these out into the light.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, for lack of a better word, I'll call it a struggle. In your struggle to try to get the truth out about this, it's got to be very frustrating, because you probably do get approached by folks that you probably end up scratching your head going, where'd this person come from and what are you talking about? There's all kind of shadowy stuff going on here. We did see the media and the 9/11, was it the 9/11 commission that was commissioned by the government? Was that what it was, the 9/11 commission?
Yeah, that's right.
We saw that, and that seemed to be a bit of a hurried affair that, they wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, that's what happened, see you later, bye. And that
it took a year to get that commission to get the Bush administration to get it going.
Yeah, there was a great fight over that.
They were completely underfunded, and they were set up to fail, according to six of the commission members themselves. And the senior counsel of the 9/11 commission noted that at some point they decided not to tell the American people the truth. This is in his book, The Ground Truth. It's an extraordinary story in and of itself.
Have you had a chance to speak to any of those folks that were on the 9/11 commission?
No, I don't even have a chance to read most of the technical literature that I'm responsible to be on top of. So there's not enough help here at AE911 Truth to do some of these other investigative opportunities.
It would be interesting to see how they felt, though. Like you said, did one of the members of the commission wrote a book and said one of the members say that they decided not to tell the public the truth?
The senior counsel said this, John Farmer, in his book The Ground Truth, and he actually notes that the NORAD lied to the commissioners three times, three separate lies.
Wow.
All contradicting each other.
Wow.
The Bush administration was stonewalling them. The CIA was not responding. They didn't have subpoena power.
Man.
They didn't use testimony under oath for the most part.
Wow.
It's a huge problem. They didn't even include the third worst structural failure in modern history, Building 7, which dropped straight down smoothly, symmetrically, into its own footprint almost, at free fall acceleration. This is the 47-story skyscraper that collapses at 5:20 in the afternoon of 9/11, straight down in the exact manner of a classic controlled demolition, an implosion. This building this is full of mystery because they announced it on BBC that it collapsed actually 20 minutes before it happened. There's people, policemen that are moving people back saying the building's going to blow up, flame and debris coming down.
Wow.
There's all kinds of foreknowledge about the collapse of this building, and it resembles a controlled demolition perfectly.
Interesting.
So every architect and engineer and others who see this note the resemblance to the old hotels they bring down, for instance, in Las Vegas. FEMA even documents in the two pieces of steel that were saved from this building, the rest being sent to China for recycling before the report came out in May of 2002, saying, hey, we have no idea how this building came down. Let's look at the steel and analyze it. But it was all gone, except for these two pieces, in which they document the melting, intergranular melting, rapid oxidation, sulfidation. These things are not supposed to happen to steel, and don't in normal office fires, which is the stated cause of the collapse of this building.
It sounds like you got it all together, Richard, and you have DVDs of your speak. Now, we just have about a minute left. What can people do if they want to get involved and find out more truth about this or help your cause or just go further down the road with this thing?
Yes, please join us on the website, ae911truth.org. You'll find everything you need there. We encourage you to support us. We're a nonprofit organization, and thrive only by your generous support.
Richard Gage, I want to thank you for your time today, and you keep up all your good work and keep us surprised at what's going on, and we'll help you as much as we can.
Thank you so much, Bird. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Richard. You take care, okay?
You too.
All right. Richard Gage from A&E 911 Truth. And whether you believe it or not, folks, he does have a website up. You can read all about it and find out there and decide for yourself. And I do want to remind everybody that the views or opinions expressed by the host, DJ, or their guests present on KZSU 90.1 FM Stanford do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the Leland Stanford Junior University Arts Associates. We thank you for